Turn, if you will, in your Bible to John. Not 1 John, but John. John chapter 4, verse 23. Heard something on television about a mega church, and I thought about what a mega church is. And mega churches are churches like First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, different ones. I guess you'd call Preston Wood would probably be a mega church. They draw a lot of people primarily, reach people for Christ. And I've been to some of these mega churches. Boy, I tell you, First Baptist Church, Jacksonville, Florida, built a $35 million children's building several years ago. And it was something just out of this world. Some of them got bowling alleys and handball courts and swimming pools and pool rooms and Wi-Fi for the members and all kinds of networks and coffee shops and things like that to draw all kinds of people. They draw all kinds of people. While some churches have all these things, the quality of a church depends upon its members. You remember that. The quality of a church depends upon its members. Last week we talked about a great church. What is a great church and great church members? Well, I believe a worshiping church is a great church and has great church members. Look in your Bible, John 4, verse 23. It says this, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, today as we look at your word, God, we realize if the Holy Spirit does not speak to our hearts, and we do not open the eyes of our understanding that we might be enlightened, Lord, we will not understand what you have for us today. Lord, we come here this morning. Many of us have different problems, different things going on in our lives, some sad, some happy. Lord, whatever the need is, whatever the problem, we know that you will meet that need. And God, let us be a worshiping church. Let us be a church that focuses on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We give you praise and honor, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Complacent church members make complacent churches, don't they? Indifferent church members usually are indifferent churches. And spiritually dead churches usually have spiritually dead members. But a great church has great members. Remember that. A great church has great members. We often get upset with churches about what the church, and talk about these mega churches, what the church doesn't do for the members. But you know, I think a church kind of ought to get a little bit upset because a lot of times their members don't do anything for the church. Now think about that. A lot of times members do not do anything for the church. I want to say thanks while I'm talking about great members and great churches. I want to say thanks to Barbara and all the ladies. And some of the men for taking care of the services and serving the members this week as they've lost loved ones. Man, I came up here, they had it all taken care of. And I went on back home. You know, that's great members, and I appreciate you ladies. Well, what does it take to make a great church member? I want you to think about that. Great churches are ones that are worshiping people, and its members are people who worship. Remember, great churches have worshiping people, and their members worship. Listen, if the members are not worshiping, The church then will be not be a worshiping church. If you're not worshiping, these pews can't worship. I've come in here before when no one's in here, just me and the Holy Spirit, and the pews did not worship God. The walls do not worship God. The lighting does not worship God. Only the people worship God. And if you do not worship God when you come to church, we're not a worshiping church. John says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, I want you to notice something about this passage of Scripture. One is the Father's priority on worship. The Father's priority on worship. The Father seeketh church members to worship him. Now, anything that the Father seeketh is a priority. I can remember when I was a young man growing up, fathers, have you ever misplaced something? I know when my father misplaced something, guess what? That was the most important thing in the house right then. You better search for it. Mother would quit what she was doing. She'd start searching for whatever daddy had lost. He'd say, kids, you start looking for whatever I've lost. We all searched for what our father had lost. That was the most important thing because the father was the head of the house. Now, when I lost something, you think mother quit to look for it? Why? Because it wasn't that important. I was just a child. You see, when God says, listen, I'm seeking my people to worship me, that is important. It's a priority of the Father. Let's look at God's demands of our worship. He demands our worship. Psalm 29, verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due to him and his name. Worship the Lord, the Bible says, in beauty and in holiness. It's a priority. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Now, let me tell you something. These are not suggestions. These are commands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of life. And he wants his people to worship him. It's his demand. He demands this morning that we worship him. It's a priority. He's seeking for his people to worship him. Now, we worship God because it's a demand of God. Not only that, we worship God because he deserves our worship, don't he? We should worship him. Why? Well, he is our redeemer. Man, God is the creator. He redeemed us. The Bible says he so loved us that he gave us his son to die on the cross. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, he demands our worship. God deserves our worship. He deserves everything about my life. It ought to be a priority in my life to glorify God with my life because of what he's done. I was lost. I was on my way to a devil's hell. And God so loved me that he gave his son to die on the cross to pay the price for sin that I could be redeemed. You see, God deserves our worship, doesn't he? I can still be lost. I can still be on that wicked road. But God so loved you. God so loved me that he sent his son to die. If you're here this morning and you know you've never been saved, God loves you. He wants you to come to him. He desires you to come to eternal life. You need to come to Him this morning. He demands us to worship Him, and He deserves all of our worship. That word worship is a shortened form of the word worth. Worth, which means showing God the worth He holds for your life. Every day, you show God the worth in your life that He deserves. Every day, everything you do, you show that worth to God by what? Worshiping Him as your Lord and Savior. You see, that's the priority this morning of worship. He deserves and He demands our worship. That is a priority this morning in this church. It ought to be your desire. Folks, not only that, God desires our worship. He demands, He deserves, and He desires. You see, that's the priority of worship. John 43, again, he says, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Our attitude this morning ought to be anything God's want, anything that God wants is my desire. I want to please Him. When I leave here today, I go out into the world. I don't want to live like a heathen. Why? Because God is with me. He's always with me. His Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I am the temple of a living God, and I ought to present God in my life. Everything that He wants, I should be doing with my life. You know what? God didn't need us. God didn't need us. God is the self-sufficient God. You and I need Him. Did you know something? He only wants the best for your life. I hear people all the time thinking, well, you know, preacher, if I get saved, then God's going to make me quit doing this and this and this. Let me tell you something. This, and this that we've been doing has gotten us into a mess. That's why we're in such a mess today. We've been doing things our way instead of God's way. God says, I don't want to put limitations on you, only where it keeps you from trouble. God wants us to have a joyful life. He said, I came that you might have an abundant life. You see, He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to praise Him and glorify His name for our benefit. When Adam sinned, let me tell you something, it wasn't Adam that went out searching for God. It was God who came searching for Adam and said, Adam, where are you? Why did He do that? Not because He needed Adam. It's because He loved Adam. And He wanted the best for Adam. And even though God desires our worship, the majority of the people in the world will not worship God today. Today of all days, we put more priority on football. You see, there'll be more people at that football game probably than in the churches around the country today. I couldn't believe it when I saw the other day 1.2 billion chicken wings will be eaten today. I said, Lord, I didn't know there's that many preachers in the world. You say preachers like chicken. That's a good bird now. Let me tell you something. Somebody said the other day, you know, chicken's bad for you. It's greasy. And I said, oh, but it's good. It's good. Man, you see, God wants us to worship Him. Folks, since God demands and deserves and desires our worship, shouldn't we make it a priority today in our life to do what God asks us to do and worship Him, the Bible says, in spirit and in truth? Now, that's the priority of worship. God demands it. God deserves it, and God desires it. Are you worshiping Him today in your life? Think about it. A great church has great members, and great members are people who worship God. Not only that, the person of worship. Look what it says. It says, we will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Jesus says the object of our worship is who? The Father. The Father. We come to Bible study, and sometimes we say, well, Bible study is worship. Some believe that coming in this church is worship, and we do refer to this as the worship service, but we do not worship the service. We are to worship the Father. True worship is about God. It's not about church. It's not about what we get out of this service, but what God gets out of us. That's true worship. What does God get out of you and I? Now, when we understand that real worship is all about God, then I believe we'll start worshiping God, you see? Now, let me explain. We need to focus our hearts on God when we worship. I read a quote about Alfred Gibbs in his book, Worship. It says this, "Prayer is the occupation of the soul with its needs." And I thought about that. Prayer is the occupation of the soul with its needs. And usually when we pray, you know what we pray about? Lord, give me this, or Lord, thank you for this, or Lord, I need this. And I thought about that. Prayer is the occupation of the soul with its needs. Praise is the occupation of the soul with its blessings. We're praising God for the blessings that He sends our way. But worship is the occupation of the soul with God Himself. When we worship, we just praise God Himself, not for the blessings that we have received, but for who He is. Now, both prayer and praise is mingled in worship, but each in itself is not worship. You see? Prayer is, Lord, save my soul. Praise is, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. But worship is, Lord, thank you for who you are. Man, have you thought about that? Have you said thank you, God, for just who you are today? Not for all my stuff, Lord, bless me, bless this. Lord, I thank you for this and I thank you for that. No, God, I want to thank you just for who you are. Worship is not when the heart is on our needs. Worship is not when the heart is on our blessings. Worship is when our heart is focused on God. We worship when we come in here, and the only thing we're concerned about is God. Let me tell you something. You cannot worship God if you're looking at your watch to see what time I'm going to be through. You cannot worship God when you're thinking about beating somebody to Cochran's cafeteria down here for lunch. It just don't work that way. The only thing you should be concerned about today is God pleased with my worship. Are you focused on God? But you know what? We have so many man-made idols today that our minds are fixed on all of those things, and we're not fixed upon God. And most of the time in our churches, we come in, we sing our praises to God, and we wonder when we're going to get out of here and if we're going to come back tonight. and our minds and our heart are not on God. Only when my heart is full of God is worship overflowed into my heart and into my thoughts about God. Now, did you catch that? Only when my heart is full of God and worship is overflowed into my heart and my thoughts are fully on God. Let me tell you something. Over in 2 Samuel, you mark this, you don't have to turn to it. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 18 to 22, there's a prophet named Nathan there. He was sent to tell David that the throne of his kingdom would know no end. David went in, the Bible says, and set before the Lord. And as David sat before the Lord, guess what happened? His heart got warmer and warmer and warmer. He began to praise God. He began to pray. And the first thing you know, he was so full of God, he said, "Oh Lord, how great thou art." Folks, why? His attention, his heart, his mind was focused on God, and he became full of God, and only God was on his mind and heart, and it leads to worship. You know why people don't worship God today? It's simply because our hearts are not full of God. Our hearts are full of everything in this world but God. Our hearts are full of bitterness. Our hearts are full of anger. Our hearts are full of unforgiveness. Our hearts are full of pride. Oh, you're mad at the preacher. You're mad at the deacons. You're mad at the Sunday school teachers. You're mad at the wife. She's mad at you, and you're all screaming at the kids. And man, I tell you what, our church experience is totally full of everything but God. And that's not worship, folks. Jesus called him Father. In John, the Bible calls him Holy Father. In John 17, John calls him Righteous Father. In Ephesians 1:17, it's called him Father of Glory. James in 1:17 calls him the Father of Lights. Ephesians 4:6 says he's the Father of all. 1 Peter 1:3 says he's the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you come to think about the Father, the kind of Father he is, our heart should be full and our heart should overflow with the glory of God because of who he is in our life. Is your heart full of God today? If it's not, it's because you haven't worshiped him. You've been thinking about everything else but God. Now, when you get full of God, your heart will overflow and you'll say, "Oh God, how great thou art." Oh, I love that song, "How Great Thou Art." Man, not only will your heart overflow with praise and thanksgiving, you'll see the power of worship. When we worship God, our hearts are focused on God himself. God will be glorified in our life. The believers will be blessed and the church edified and the unsaved reached. That's what happens when we focus on God. That's what happens when we see the priority of worship. Folks, priority of worship leads us to the power of worship, the purifying power of worship. Think about it just a moment. The purifying power of worship. I've been pastoring now in this church for 28 years. Before that, I was a minister for 6 years at two other churches, youth director and all-around flunky, I guess. But I've watched people over the years get angry, Oh man, they get upset about just about everything you can imagine. Everything. It's amazing what happens in a person's life when God becomes real to them. When God becomes real to you, it will affect how you feel, it will affect how you act, and it will affect how you react. You know what? Over the years, things used to bother me. Things used to bother me. And sometimes I would react in a ungodly manner. But you know what? Little things are no longer an issue anymore. I'm not going to let little things get in my way of worshiping God. You see? And if we're angry, if we're bitter, and someone says something that hurts your feelings, you let that fester up in your mind, you cannot worship God. You see, real worship washes and cleanses our souls, and our hearts are only full of God. Man, the edifying power of worship. And then there's the sanctifying power of worship. We worship in spirit and truth. Real worship causes our hearts to be captivated by God. And guess what? When your heart is captivated by God, the more you want of God. Oh, I love that old song, more about Jesus. You see, more about Jesus. It's amazing how we want to know more about God. Over in Isaiah, it says in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was in the temple, and he saw the holiness of God there. He saw himself as he was, and he had a purifying effect upon his life. And he said, "Oh Lord, I am a man of unclean lips." But it also had a sanctifying time in his life. When God said, "Isaiah, whom shall I send and who shall go?" He said, "Here I am, my Lord, send me." Folks, when our mind and our heart are full of God, and we find that we have worshiped God, you'll say, "Oh Lord, I am a man of unclean lips." He will purify your life and set you apart for service if you will say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Would you do that this morning? Then there had a sanctifying effect on his life. He went out and did the will of God in his life. And not only that, when we really worship God, not only does it have a purifying and a sanctifying effect, it says that unsaved people will be won. An edifying power of worship. The result of true worship is a foundation for our spiritual growth. Folks, each time we worship God, guess what? We deepen our walk with Him. Each time we come to worship and we say, "Lord, it's not about me. It's not about what I get out of service. It's what I can give or I give to you. It's what you get out of me that really matters." When you do that, you'll find that your life edifies God and you have a deeper walk with God. A deeper walk with God. That's what I want for this church. Oh, I would love to see this church overflowing with people, but not because of numbers' sake. I would love to see the ones we have here now, right now, say, God, here am I. Send me. I would love to see us grow in our spiritual walk to where every time there's a need in our life, or every time there's a need in someone's life, or every time there's a need in the church, we'd say, here am I. Preacher, use me. That God might be glorified. That we might come here on Sunday morning and not worry about everything in the world, but only to worship God. Wouldn't that be great? A great church has great people who worship God. You want this church to be a great church? Let's start worshiping God. Let's focus on God things. Not our things, but only what God wants in our life. Now, if you're here, I know one thing God wants. If you're here and you're lost, He wants you to be saved. He said, God doesn't wish that any should perish, but all should come to eternal life. I know that. That's the will of God. He don't want you to die and go to a devil's hell. He wants you to come to Christ. But you know what? He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to force you to walk down that aisle. You have to do it by faith. You have to realize that He died for you, He loves you, and He wants you to serve Him. And if you're willing to do that, you can trust your life to Him. Let me tell you something. He will save you for all eternity. It's good to know that I'm saved. It's good to know that God's going to keep me. It's good to know that. If you're a member here and you're not worshiping God, then you need to start worshiping God. Don't you just sit there in that pew and sit in siren soap and say, well, I'll do it some other day. You come to the front and get on your knees before God and you say, Lord, let me start focusing on just what You want, not what I want. It'd be good, wouldn't it? What a day it would be. Really a super day if we just give our lives to Christ fully and completely. Maybe you're visiting with us today, and this is the place God's led you. You know He wants you here. You can just feel it. Why don't you come? Be a part of this church. Great church. I guarantee you. Got some great people. But we're going to be greater in the years to come because we're going to worship God like He wants us to. Let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You today, God, for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for all that You've given us, for what You mean to us. And Lord, I pray today that decisions will be made to worship You, that You might lift up our community and bring revival to our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand? Would you come right now?